Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Look, I hope you're all staying safe, living in this uncharted waters, the world we're living in at the moment, upside down, but we need to be strong and stay together as a family and abide by the new rules that are placed upon us. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Marie McCabe, CEO of Dementia Australia. At this unprecedented time, Dementia Australia is encouraging all people impacted by dementia to reach out for support and information when they need it. Online we have Marie. Marie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Marie?
I live in Melbourne, and I usually spend my time everywhere else in the country, but with these recent restrictions, I haven't been anywhere, so good. I'm grounded, Trevor.
And look, and sometimes, look, you've got to look for the good in every situation, and in every person, I like to say, and if you find it, let them know, but in this situation, we'll have more time with family. That's a good thing, isn't it? I like to think.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's right.
Hope everything's all good in a relationship. If not, it's going to be. Look, we can laugh and look, and that's all we need to do. But as I mentioned in the introduction, unprecedented time with Dementia Australia is encouraging all people impacted by dementia to reach out and support. Just elaborate on that, please, Marie.
It's more important now more than ever, Trevor, that people reach out to Dementia Australia. And please call our National Dementia Helpline on 1800 100 500 for any queries that you may have related to dementia, related to challenges that you're experiencing. And Trevor and I were just laughing about, you know, sometimes it is difficult spending more time with family. Mm. And particularly for people living with dementia, getting overstimulated and having a changing dynamic in the household or in the family can be quite challenging.
Yes.
And we've got some great support for people to assist them through these times, to provide practical tips. So we've just released our new help sheets, and they're for people living with dementia, for families and carers, and also for residential providers and home care providers. And now more than ever, we need to support each other. We need to be clear about the things that we can do that make a difference for people living with dementia.
Sure.
And also for their carers.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Carers looking after dementia, I mean, they need support and help as well, and their physical as well as mental capacity is very important to be taken care of as well.
Absolutely. And if carers are not taken care of, Trevor, as we well know, then they can't care for their loved ones. So that they get support is so important. So please be in touch with us. We've even got a web chat function on the website at dementia.org.au. So if that works better. And to any community leaders that are listening, please know that Dementia Australia is here for you, that these help sheets are available. Free download from our website.
Sure.
And do call the National Dementia Helpline if we can assist in any way.
So when you look at the world that we're living in at the moment, and sometimes when we're outside the normal routine as such, it can affect a person's mental capacity and the way they think and process. And does that work towards, or has it anything to do with dementia along the same lines?
Absolutely, Trevor. And one of the things that we're seeing, I mean, if you turn on the television, there's a lot of words like lockdown, crisis, emergency. for us that can hear the whole thing in context, we understand what's being said.
Sure.
But for people living with dementia, and particularly as their dementia progresses, they may not understand, and it may cause a really heightened sense of anxiety.
Mm.
So to be able to explain things in very simple language, to give consistent messages, and to maintain a routine is something
sure.
that's really helpful for people living with dementia.
Well, with that anxiety or the mind taken on board what's on the TV, like I like to always say, when you watch the news, they say, good evening, last good thing they tell you, you know, and now it's double folded. It's a double folded because of the fact that we now have this pandemic upon us. But you've got to be careful that we don't just select the one negative statement and just mind rolls with that negative statement and not listen to the whole story is what you're alluding to, yeah?
Yeah, and for people living with dementia, they may not be able to understand the whole story. So
yes.
it's really important that we can explain what's going on in a simple way, and you know, and to be consistent and clear
mm.
in letting people know, and letting people know that we're doing everything we can so that they're taken care of, that if we follow the guidelines that government has set down
mm.
about social distancing and only going out for the four key things, then, you know, it makes a very big difference. And it's great to see that some of this is paying off.
Yes. And you've given out the number there, which is 1-800-100-500 for Dementia Australia. So you're virtually opening that conversation for even a carer to give you a call and hear it from the so-called horse's mouth. This is in regards to where we are in the situation. We're here to support and make people feel at ease.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're aiming for, Trevor.
Fantastic. Very important space you're working in. Thank you very much, Marie. All the best to you and your deadly team and to yourself and your family, Marie. Thank you for sharing.
It's a pleasure speaking with you, and to everybody listening, our very best wishes. Please do take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Marie McCabe. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
A beautiful yarn there with Marie McCabe, CEO Dementia Australia. And at this unprecedented time, Dementia Australia is encouraging all people impacted by dementia to reach out for support, information when they need it. And that number again is 1-800-100-500. And as she pointed out there, as Marie pointed out there, in regard to when we're watching the news and we hear the news and then they're talking about key words like lockdown, pandemic and coronavirus and death and what have you, and it can affect a person's mind. Dementia Australia is saying, they give us a call, have a conversation. We're in this together, we're working together, and looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, and there is light. So fantastic, Dementia Australia. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball here on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, and live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Otherwise, you can text the brother 045-714-0550, and otherwise check us out on the Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And like I said, we're going across the nation thanks to NERS. Want to hear what you've got to say? Yeah, I'm with the border and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. Going to catch up now with CG, that's Chris Graham. He's the editor of New Matilda. Just catch up with him and find out how he's travelling. And a very good morning, Chris. How are you?
Morning, Trev. Very good, mate. Very good.
Fantastic. Now, you were travelling around, but you're probably not now. You're at home?
No, I...
where are you?
I'm in Wilcannia.
Oh, so, okay, Wilcannia. Okay, brother. And
yeah,
so you must... What, lockdown? I mean, you must be there for a while then.
I will be, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
The gods have
spoken.
They have. The gods and the New South Wales Parliament.
There you go. So yeah. We're having a little giggle here, which is fantastic. But look, unprecedented times. Our world has turned upside down. How are you travelling? How's that mob out there, Will Kenya?
Yeah, look, that's why I'm here. I live on Stradbroke Island, but my partner lives in Broken Hill, so I didn't want to get locked down on, even though it's a beautiful island, I didn't want to get locked down without Amy, so I fled to Broken Hill, and I do a lot of work for the Murrumba Aboriginal Health Corporation in Broken Hill. I have for years. And
yes.
So they've asked me to help out with some communications and some political stuff. So I'm basically in Wilcannia trying to get the New South Wales government to basically lock the town down, because It's on, if people don't know Wilcannia, it's way out in the far west of New South Wales, the bottom left corner, basically. It's it's about 11 hours drive west of Sydney.
Okay.
And it's pretty remote. It's desert country, and it's, you know, it's a small town of about 800. It's mostly Aboriginal, but it's on the Barrier Highway, which is the biggest link, well, the link between Adelaide and also Adelaide and Brisbane.
So it's on the main highway, so you could say anybody can just turn off and go drive into Wilcannia.
Well, they don't just even have to turn off. The only way to get
is go through.
To drive through town. We had a situation. It's sort of grey nomad country out here. There's grey nomads everywhere. And we had a situation 2 weeks ago where there were so many grey nomads in town, the queue for the petrol station went for a kilometre.
Wow.
A kilometre, and they're, so they've taken. They're cleaning out the local store. I mean, this is not a criticism of them. But this is what's happening.
No. That's what's happening. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's trying to get home, but so they're also, who knows whether or not they've got COVID-19 or not.
Exactly.
The problem for Wilcannia, of course, is that the health status of Wilcannia residents is terrible. I mean, you know, the diabetes rate's 4 times the national average. Death rate's 3 times the national average.
So these people are vulnerable to this virus.
They are. And every single pre-existing health condition they've mentioned that gives you a poorer outcome in the COVID-19 exists exponentially in Wilcannia and every other Aboriginal community in Australia.
Sure, exactly.
The community's getting increasingly frustrated at the lack of action. The point we've been trying to make to the government, I literally just walked out of a meeting, like a teleconference with the government about it, is when this all first started to go down, the feds and the states and territories moved really quickly to lock down care centres. And that's a good thing because elderly people are far more at risk of an outcome. And so that's a good thing. But if they could move so quickly to lock down aged care centres all over the country, why can't they...
Exactly, First Nation communities, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of them have been locked down. I mean, Queensland and the Cape, they've started to lock people down. I know Cherbourg got locked down in West Australia and NT and South Australia, but nobody put any thought about the communities in the far west of New South Wales because a lot of them are gazetted towns like any other town, so they're not kind of perceived as Aboriginal communities, even though they overwhelmingly are.
Exactly.
So we've been trying for weeks.
So, in answer to my question, there has not been a lockdown at Wilcannia, you could say.
No, not yet. The New South Wales laws are quite restrictive in the sense that I'm not sure what the situation in Queensland is now, but in New South Wales, you can't go outside with more than one other person.
Yeah, two people.
Unless you're a family, yeah, so two people. They're pretty strict. I think that might be the same in Queensland, is it?
Yes, it is the same, yes.
Yeah, it's more lax in South Australia. You can go out with 10, and so different states different things, but the preparedness in New South Wales, so the government getting ready for this, has all been clinical. It's all about getting the hospitals ready so that they can treat people when they come in. Problem for Wilcannia, of course, is if it gets into the community, there's no amount of clinical preparedness.
You don't need treatment because you could say fatality, big time.
It'll go through the roof. The mortality rate, no one knows, but experts here are saying it'll be 20 or 30% of cases will have a terrible outcome. And that's a huge problem for Wilcannia, Menindee, Ivanhoe, there's, you know, Bree, Burke, there's a whole...
Well, the authorities dropped the ball in regard to the cruise liners, and what you're saying is they're about to drop the ball regarding First Nation communities.
They are. I've been researching this a lot, obviously, for a month and a bit now, and all the experts are saying the same thing. All the people who you really should be listening to on this stuff are saying the same thing, and that is you can't stop this. It's like stopping COVID-19 or the influenza or an influenza is like trying to stop the wind. You just can't.
Exactly.
So you've got to have strategies in place, and the New South Wales government strategies for Aboriginal communities so far has been to get the hospitals ready. Well, the Aboriginal communities themselves want to be locked down so that it doesn't even get there.
Exactly.
And, because if it does get there, it doesn't matter how many hospitals or how many staff.
Well, we're talking a wipeout, aren't we? We're talking elderly people, vulnerable people, sick people.
Yep.
You know, it's not a good space for a virus to be in. I mean, good for the virus, but not for the peoples.
Yeah, look, it's a pretty successful, clever virus, but I tell you what, the threat to Aboriginal populations is extreme. It's so extreme, it almost beggars belief. And the one thing I'll acknowledge is I know governments everywhere are stretched, and everybody's not panicked, but they're rushing to try and plug gaps and what have you. But I've got to say, there's been very little consideration, at least in the far west and New South Wales, for what Aboriginal people are going to do here. And they are as vulnerable, if not more vulnerable, than Aboriginal people in the Northern Territory or WA. The level of overcrowding in towns like Wilcannia is extreme. The health care is extreme. The smoking rates are huge. There's an elderly population, but there's a younger population that's got this burden of disease that other communities don't have. So it's been extraordinary to watch.
For the last 250 odd years, the so-called gap in all facets, housing, health, employment, what have you. Well, there's a gap here regarding this coronavirus and regarding to the urgency for First Nation people, is what you're saying.
There is. Undeniably. I mean, I watched the federal government's rolled out stimulus. I think it was $360 billion last time I checked. And then Ken White came out with a $123 million package to help Aboriginal businesses recover. It's not even half of 1% of what they robbed. Else, Aboriginal businesses can obviously qualify for other things as well. But the point is, if mob around the country are thinking that their needs are going to be prioritised, I'm sorry to tell them, they're not. We've got decades of failed government policies, and that is why there is overcrowding. That is why there's this massive burden of disease, and that is why Aboriginal communities are far more vulnerable than anybody else. But that same policy failure and that same lack of act from the bureaucracy and government that has seen Aboriginal communities in this position is likely to continue throughout this whole crisis. I don't think that states and territories and the Commonwealth are going to have this sudden crisis of confidence. We've done over the mob for 40, 50 years, maybe we should lift our game right now. That's not what they're doing.
Things don't change, Chris.
No. And so Aboriginal communities themselves have got to start making noise. That's part of what my job here is, to try and make some noise. And if you're standing in the queue and you're not making noise, you're not going to get any help, I think, is the problem.
That's
so
right.
We had quite a lot of success last week with media. News Corporation picked it up, ABC picked it up. We ended up getting it overseas into the BBC. What the local kids in Wilcannia did is make a whole pile of signs, just street signs, to go out and put it out on the street, asking tourists not to stop in town, just to keep driving.
Yeah.
And, we're trying to use the media attention to leverage a bit of effort from the New South Wales and Commonwealth government. We've started to see some movement, but it's very slow.
Very slow. Exactly.
The problem is, it only takes one person to bring COVID-19 into Wilcannia or Manila.
I know. It's a virus.
Yep.
It's contagious. Yes, exactly. Yep. Exactly. So they need to act on it and act on it, well, fast, very fast. I mean, best to be safe than sorry. That's the old saying, isn't it?
That's it. And, our argument, as I said before, is simply to ask them to show the same level of care and attention that they pay to aged care centres. That's all we've asked for.
Exactly. Well, they're on the same par, aren't they? They've just got black skin.
Well, arguably, Aboriginal communities are even more vulnerable, and they are more vulnerable than aged care communities. They have a cohort of elderly, but they also have this massive burden of disease that you don't see anywhere else in the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it feels a bit like shutting the door after the horse has bolted.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're talking about the elderly, and like in suburbia or cities, they got higher medical care than compared to a community. So let's look at that point as well,
Undeniably. I'll give you an example locally. There's an Aboriginal woman here, Monica Wyman, community leader. She's chair of the Wilcannia Community Working Party. Her husband has diabetes, and Wilcannia is a population of 800, but there's no dialysis machine in Wilcannia. The nearest one is 200 kilometres away. So three times a week, she's got to drive a 400-kilometre round trip just to get her husband dialysis services. Now, that's bad enough.
Yes.
But now she's got to travel into a community that has confirmed COVID cases.
Right?
Two confirmed, but there's suspected to be more. So she's got to drive into a community that is not COVID-free to get her husband treated three times a week and then drive back to Wilcannia, potentially
bringing a virus.
Yep. So, you know, and she is one of the leaders in calling for this place to be locked down. But she doesn't have any choice. She can't not take her husband to dialysis. She can't, can't just roll him up in a carpet and leave him. You know, she's got to try and protect herself as best she can. But she's got this terrible dilemma of also being a community leader trying to protect the community self.
Well, she could, like I said, honestly, could be bringing virus in back to her community and put all the other elders or people who are vulnerable in that situation.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. And look, that's only the tip of the iceberg in Wilcannia. The government, state and Commonwealth announced, you know, we're going to do learning online. I think about 4% of Aboriginal Wilcannia have access to the internet. So the school, Wilcannia Central School, has been driving around and dropping off people's homework and collecting it. They're trying to keep kids getting educated. It's very, very difficult to do in those circumstances.
But, yeah, exactly.
You know, the food security here is not good. The local supermarket, it's like high. When you go in there and walk out having paid your money, you feel like you've been robbed, and you have.
Yes, yes.
The cost is extreme. Aboriginal cannot stockpile food, A, because they can't afford it because it's too expensive, and B, there's not enough food. If you go into this supermarket, it's been cleaned out by the grey nomads. It doesn't have good food security at the best of time. So they're supposed to isolate in overcrowded houses with sometimes more than 10 people living in a single house. They don't have internet access. Power and plumbing is a problem in about one-third of houses.
Mm.
Their supermarket is too. If they can't travel into Broken Hill to stock up on food, I mean, the really frustrating thing for people in Wilcannia, they were watching, you know, rich Australians flown back from overseas by the government and quarantined five-star hotels in...
Exactly. Disheartening.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Wilcannia is asking for tents, basically. They want to set up the Australian Army to set up some tents so that they have a chance at least to self-isolate.
Exactly. That's falling on deaf ears.
I love this machine, and I can't even get that.
Exactly. And yeah, like if you look at it here, like for example, here in Cairns, I did a little bit of shopping the other day, and my son loves them little 2-minute noodles in the cylinder containers. And I bought two of them, and the lady said, "I'm sorry, you only can take one." Okay, that's fine. All good. So she put the one back. But there's the policing with me living in a rural city, as in Cairns. And so even look, I'm talking about the nomads. If they're visiting Wilcannia, only a certain amount of stuff that you can take. I mean, you need to put that in place or something to that effect, but otherwise get the services there or lock it down is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm actually parked out on the highway just on the edge of town because that's the only place you can get mobile coverage in this town.
There you go.
Get no mobile coverage. And as I'm talking to you right now, I'll wind the window down so you can hear. This, he slowed down a bit, but this is another grey nomad passing through town. And while I've been sitting here, actually there's one going the other way.
And the car and the one that just went past you is packed to the brim with Lord Grocery from Wilcannia.
Yeah, probably. And they may or may not be carrying the COVID virus from Adelaide or wherever.
Well, there you go. That's the other point. Yeah, take that cargo with you.
Trevor and your listeners know that the rest of the country has no idea what Aboriginal communities like this endure day to day, let alone
in a pandemic. Exactly.
Yeah. The local school feeds the kids. They feed them 5 meals a day because it's a poor community, and that's the best way they can guarantee to get kids with a full belly and help them concentrate in class.
Yeah.
Their supply chain, their food that they buy for their kids every day, that broke down a week ago. Foodland in Broken Hill, because of the panic shopping in Broken Hill, said, "We can't supply you anymore. We haven't got enough food." So suddenly, you know, the kids here in Wilcannia, they're not getting fed. They're told to stay at home, but they can't access any online learning. They haven't got mobile coverage in their houses. They've got no food security at the local supermarket. I mean, they can't go to the school now to get fed. It's just...
And how do you educate them on the reason why we're doing this? Because there's a pandemic. Well, Uncle, what's a pandemic?
Yeah, the community seems to pretty much understand here that there's a problem. There's some people, of course, that aren't taking it all that seriously. And, you know, the kids, it's hard to keep kids indoors.
Exactly. I
mean, you got an overcrowded house. How do you keep a young black fella in the house all day? He's got no mobile or internet coverage. He's, you know, I mean, if people think they're doing it tough on this crisis, I tell you, if they're doing it tougher than Kenya, I'll be surprised to hear it. I mean, it is so much more extreme out here.
And the sad thing is, Chris, this is likely all Aboriginal communities across this country.
I can only comment on what here, but I guarantee you, it's the same everywhere. It'll be the same in Breeze, same in Bourke. It'll be the same up in Doomadgee. It'll be the same in, you know, you name it.
Exactly.
It'll be the same everywhere. And we're in this position because of decades of neglect and government failure. And unfortunately, Aboriginal communities are just going to have to, they're going to have to try and punch through this as best they can like everybody else. But the outcomes are going to be so much worse.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt about that.
For sure. And how long are you based there for? Or when are you looking at heading home? Or are you allowed to cross borders?
Yeah, I literally don't know, mate. I there's talk that I'll be in Wilcannia for 90 days, up to 90 days. I mean, I think I'll definitely be in the far west for at least 90 days. But my partner's in Broken Hill. So, you know, I spend half the year there anyway.
Sure.
I do a couple of weeks there and then a couple of weeks on the road, a couple of weeks in Australia. So probably a third of the year there. But I'll be, you know, like if I travel back into Queensland, I'll have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. And then if I travel back, actually New South Wales hasn't got the self-isolation law yet if you travel between states, so I could come back to New South Wales.
Sure.
But I've said I'll stay in Wilcannia as long as I'm useful.
I'm not
a worker. I don't have any expertise other than feeding up politicians and attacking journalists. So.
And so at this point in time, there's no cases in Wilcannia?
Not that they know of, but I do genuinely, unfortunately, believe it's only a matter of time.
Exactly. If there's no lockdown, you know, of course.
Yeah, it is literally only a matter of time. There's two cases in Broken Hill. One of those was a young fella who had a party, and so now there's a whole pile of people in isolation who went to the party when they shouldn't have gone to the party.
Yep.
But, you know, in Wilcannia over the weekend, there were complaints that there were a few parties, not many, but a few parties being held, which are putting people at risk. So people everywhere have got to start taking it seriously, especially in Aboriginal communities, because it's not about whether or not you catch it and you get through it. It's about you catch it and who you give it to.
And pass it on, especially. Yes, exactly. Well, listen, thank you for the yarn. Good to catch up, my friend. Honestly, you take care of yourself. Big shout out to the Wilcannia mob there. And look, lock it down is the message we're putting out there to government.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
All right, brother. All the best to you. You take care, Chris.
Yeah, stay safe, mate. Talk to you soon.
Bye, mate. There we have it. That's Chris Graham, publisher and editor of New Matilda. And look, at first, a non-Indigenous brother who works really closely for First Nation people is what I wanted to say. And New Matilda is the tool he used. You can check it out, newmatilda.com. And he just paints the picture regarding how our mob are living, good and bad, and also a strong advocate in fighting for our rights. And he's at Wilcannia and works closely with Wilcannia. And he wants to, well, the community is asking for it to be locked down in regard to this COVID-19 virus that's upon us. Look, have your say, you mob. Add to the conversation. The deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. You're Yana with the Bully Run, your host for National Talk Black. That's Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. And that deadly number again, 1-800-422-416.
Bye. Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yeah, all that I need is you give us a call here on 1-800-422-416, the number of your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with your host, the bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumma Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go by NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, the epidemic, the pandemic we're living in, it is an academic, there it is. Australia's a government national COVID-19 helpline. Here's the number if you've got any questions, 1-800-020-080. That number again, 1-800-020-080. That's in regarding any queries that you may have with COVID-19, whether it be the virus or if you've got a cough or sneeze or something like that, or you want an information about borders or what have you, that's the number you need to call. That number again, 1-800-020-080 is where we're living in at the moment, the world we're living in, and you need to do your bits. Don't forget, wash your hands constantly. If you don't need to go, leave your home, stay at home. If you do leave, only travel with two people, you included. And if we are travelling and we're out and about, 1.5 metres away from other people, and also cough into your elbows, cough into your arms. If you use a tissue, discard the tissue and put it in the bin. Need to do what we need to do to contain this virus. No vaccine as such, not as yet, and not that we know of. So we just need to do what we need to do to contain it and to keep the contagious virus down in regarding the contagion. So have your say, yard up strong, add to the conversation. I want to hear from you, mob. Tell us what's happening with your mob there, with the home front or the work front, and how you're travelling, and especially our First Nation communities around the country. 1-800-422-416. Give this Murray call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
He wore an issued Aussie soldier's uniform, with a rifle in his hand and a bayonet. But when he asked if he could be part of society, they said, no, you're not ready, not yet. But he fought hard for his country in the trenches, fighting hard beside his Aussie digger mates. When we look back in history, he helped change the course. But still, he's too dark for the light horse. Slouch hat on his head for the country, and he fired his gun in honor of the flag. But when he came back home from living hell, three letters he could not use, RSL. But he fought hard for his country in the trenches, fighting hard beside his Aussie digger mates. When we look back in history, he helped change the course. But still, he's too dark for the light horse. When we look back in history, he helped change the course. But still, he's too dark for the light horse.
Shame. since I met this blessed Savior, and since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. So I'll shout
on your mob, it's me, Bushaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that deadly number again, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Station radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by Yana and calling that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up now with Shannon Curtis on the line, iCode School Australia, and how iCode Australia is assisting parents in these times. On the line we have Shannon, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Trevor, how are you?
I'm well, thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Shannon?
I'm actually based in Victoria.
Victoria, fantastic. And look, just give us a layout on iCode School, what you guys do, and talk about how you're assisting parents in these times.
Yeah, we're a kids coding school, so we're generally we work with children after school, and we teach them the language of computers or coding.
Okay.
We often do that we show kids how to build games, websites, apps, robotics, and those types of things for young children, sort of ages between sort of 7 and 14 years.
Fantastic. All right. So, and what are you doing to assist your parents in this pandemic that's upon us here?
Yes, we had lots of parents. But obviously with the pandemic that's upon us, which is terrible, you know, obviously being concerned about having children in groups, and which is understandable. So we actually took all of our courses online as well. And given that it was a school holiday, and I've got three kids of my own, and I know being cooped up inside can be quite hard for parents. So we launched an online kids holiday co-camp for parents. And because it's online, it's actually accessible all over Australia, which is a wonderful thing. And we've offering that this week, sort of 5 days this week for an hour a day. So it just gives parents a bit of a sanity break,
good,
an opportunity for their kids to do something, I guess, productive, interesting and creative as well, which is a nice for the kids to have something to look forward to in these challenging times too.
Fantastic. So give us some a description of some of the ideas of the programs with iCode there.
Yeah, so generally there's a couple of programs we run over the holiday program. One's sort of like a beginner group. And naturally, where kids are introduced to block-based programming, where they'll build out some couple of relatively easy, if you're a beginner, games, which are quite interesting. So they get to apply their creativity, their imagination, and come up with some games as they learn the language of code for the first time.
Yes.
And then there's an intermediate session where kids have a little bit more experience, not a lot, but a little bit more, where they start to build some games as well. So they might build games like a Space Invader game, or like a Pac-Man or a Maze game. And they build those games out using code.
And these codes and these games, look, it stimulates the mind in regard to a different way of learning, you could say.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it was the great Bill Gates who said, learning a code teaches you more than how to code. It actually teaches you how to think.
Yes.
They exist, they do a lot of problem solving as well, which is wonderful.
Or put your brain at work. I mean, that's what the brain's for, you know, not to sit there and just receive the information. It's about you working, you using your own thoughts and coming up with the solution, so to speak, going deep in the mind.
Definitely, yeah. Too often young learners and young kids in the modern world, will just sit there and have media sort of wash over them. They'll watch YouTube or social media or get on the PlayStation or the gaming consoles. So their brain isn't actively engaged. But with coding, they actually lean forward into the computer and start to critically think and problem solve and really engage their brain in positive ways.
No, sounds fantastic. So you're the founder. How long has iCode been operating for?
Oh, we've been around about 3 years. The last year or a little bit in a more of a full-time capacity. We've got our own code studio and everything else. But prior to that, it was a little bit more part-time where we had a smaller group of kids. But just given the need of kids to want to learn this, the importance of it, the 21st century learning and the jobs of the future, we just, invested a bit of money and made sure that we were giving kids the best possible experience with coding and doing something that they love as well, which is linked to technology.
And Shannon, do you work with the schools as such in regard to their curriculum? Are you entwined there, or is this something they do outside schools?
Yeah, great question. Kids do this outside of school. However, it is in line with the curriculum where they do have a digital technologies component. So it is part of the school-based curriculum that kids learn these valuable coding, digital technology skills. Some schools have really good capability and teachers that can teach it. Other schools don't necessarily have that. But it is an important skill, so we are in line with the curriculum as such.
Well, if we're talking about getting the mind to work and actually do its job and do the thinking, I'm all for it. I'm thinking that this should be in the curriculum and across the nation with all our schools.
Yeah, well, it is in the curriculum, but whether or not, because the curriculum's so broad with what teachers have to teach, sometimes they can struggle to get to it, and it might not be a high priority in that school, so it might get put right on the back burner.
Yes.
Some schools have more resources as well in this area and others don't. And teachers need to be trained and know how to teach it. And sometimes that can be lacking, but it is important because we know maths and literacy and these types of things are, you know, what we used to have to learn for the way the world was. But now the world runs on digital systems. So it's a new way, new language and a new thing kids need to learn if they're going to be ready for the future. Because we want our kids to be ready, happy and prepared for the future that's here now but also coming as well.
Exactly, and adapt to the ever-changing world. I mean, change is inevitable, and change with the times will get left behind is what I say. Listen, nice talking to you, Shannon. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to iCode School and fantastic ways where you're assisting parents in these times that we're living in at the moment. But, look, thank you very much. All the best to your team and for yourself, you and your family. You take care, Shannon.
You too. Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate the time.
Bye-bye, mate.
Thanks for having me on board. See you later. Bye-bye.
That's Shannon Curtis, his name is. He's the founder of iCode School Australia and how iCode Australia is assisting parents in these times. And we're talking about being at home at the moment and isolated and to get your brain thinking and your brain working, so to speak. And I think it's a great idea to stimulate the mind is a way you can do that. So iCode, check him out online. And that's iCode.com and that's iCode School, one word, .com. This is your daily program. National Talk Black. Got about 9 minutes left on the program, so do add to the conversation. That daily number is 1-800-422-416, and otherwise you can check us out on Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM, and otherwise text the brother 0457140550. Going right up to 12 noon, another 9 minutes to go, but for the local mob, stay tuned. Trinity Trev taking you through a special COVID-19 program, and that's from 12 to 1 o'clock, so stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, 1-800-422-416. Beautiful beat, beautiful Jalawara, Lara Maringi, and Scotty Martin here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I'm going to catch up a yarn, then we've got someone online. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. A lot of people are going to die, but stay-at-home isolation, it'll do something that the baby bonus couldn't do, eh, brother?
The baby bonus, yeah, that's right, exactly. Couldn't do that. None of these times, anyway.
Yeah, Yeah, and like the black American, they say, you know, the Jewish Holocaust, that's the worst on film, but they don't tell you about what happened to those black ones during slavery. Mm. And the Spanish flu, same way, brother, the Spanish flu, of course a lot of people died, but we don't know how many black fellas died, brother, and of course we were flora and fauna.
Yes, thank of course you, we were. Thank you, flora and fauna, we were. Thank you, Selwyn. And make a good point there, flora and fauna, as the states in the Australian Constitution, that's who we are, flora and fauna. So talk to Mango Tree here. Daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. And I said we're going across the nation, thanks to NERSA, house at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. All right, now the news we've got here. Australia casual workers have had their hopes dashed after it was confirmed those who had been in a job for less than 12 months would not receive the JobKeeper payment. So Prime Minister Scott Morrison first announced the new $130 billion wage subsidy late last month. It was designed to help keep businesses afloat and workers in jobs as the coronavirus crisis rages on. Under the payment scheme, eligible employees would be paid $1,500 a fortnight for a maximum of 6 months. But while the government initially revealed full-time and part-time employees, sole traders and casual workers who had been working for more than 1 year would be eligible, concerns were raised that several groups would miss out. Backlash was especially centred on the fine print that excluded the 1.1 million Australian casual workers who had been in their role for less than 12 months, with union leaders calling on the government to relax the rules. According to Fairfax Publications, Industrial Relations Minister Christian Porter had indicated he was open to working with the Australian Council of Trade Unions, that's the ACTU, to change the eligibility for casual workers. So the ACTU had been pushing for all casuals to get the payments if they had a reasonable expectation of ongoing work, were it not for the virus. So there's the argument in play. And regarding casual workers at this point in time, your hopes have been dashed because you may not be confirmed to be eligible for receiving the JobKeeper payments. Watch this space. In regards to the space, Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your time, your mob. National Talk Black, First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And your host, the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. It's a 1 hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday to Friday. And you can call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416, in between those times. Otherwise, text us 24/7, 0457-140-550, or Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. It is the Murray Grapevine. You can add to the conversation, yarn about any topic that's concerning you, motivating you, inspiring you. All ears here. But this environment we're having at the moment, we're living in at the moment, the pandemic with the COVID-19 is really turning things upside down. But we are here for you, for your yarns and for your entertainment. So do add to the conversation and keep in touch that way. Once again, Australia's government national COVID-19 helpline, that is 1-800-020-080. And for your mental capacity, Dementia Australia is encouraging all people impacted by dementia to reach out for support and information when they need. And the number there is 1-800-100-500. And I want to thank you very much for your time, your mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And your local mob, stay tuned to your First Nation radio station. And that's BBM 98.7 FM. Because Trendy Trev taking you right through to 1 o'clock on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.